Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We're beginning our shows this season with the topic of time, and I'm reading from the little book by Karen Whiting called Time, One of God's Gifts. And the chapter today is Jesus and Time. How did Jesus spend his time? Well, we know from Scripture that Jesus took time to pray each day, early in the morning and late at night. He prayed before a miracle. He prayed at the moment he died, and he prayed with others. He spent his time in work of preaching and healing. He took time for social gatherings. He spent time resting and being with friends, and he took time to grieve. We know that from Matthew 14:13, where he went away after the death of John the Baptist. So decisions of Jesus regarding time. He also said no to some choices. He would not perform signs and wonders for the Pharisees. It's okay to say no. Jesus also trusted in the timing of events. For example, in going to Lazarus, Jesus trusted that the time was right for him to go. And then Jesus also argued. I mean, we might not think of it, but at Cana with his mother, he responded to her request, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." And yet he was respectful and did what she asked. Jesus also recognized interruptions sometimes as divine appointments. Jesus stopped on a busy day when someone reached out to touch him. That's found in Matthew 9:18-26. And Jesus stopped other activities and took time for children. Jesus understood that people have choice over time. Even speaking of the day of rest, the Sabbath, Jesus gave it order and perspective. Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That's found Mark 2:27. So as you start to budget your time, that's one thing where we all have an even level field. We're all given the same amount of time, not money, but time. And look at it as a gift from God, then how you spend your time becomes a sacred responsibility. Well, let's have our prayer time. And we have, again, many suffering people and people that are worried. And yet Jesus says, "Perfect peace have they whose mind is stayed on thee." So let's pray that we can keep our mind on him today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity of being able to communicate and pray directly to you. I pray for my listeners that they will understand the precious gift of time that you've given them, and that we will have peace that passes understanding, that we will have joy in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. I pray for the family that has a number of relatives that are ill. Pray for their healing. And I pray for those that have experienced some loss. And Lord, I just praise you too. My own daughter got poison in her eyes and had to be rushed to the emergency room. Thank you for the doctors that worked so quickly to save her eyes, and that she will experience full recovery of sight. And I just thank you for that. And I'm sure there's other praises too, Lord. We know that you care about us, and we look forward to your soon return. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, currently we have captured some eggs and some caterpillars of the monarch butterfly, and we're watching them change into the chrysalis, and hopefully we'll hatch some monarchs. So one of the crafty things that we're going to do is make our own monarch butterflies and decorate our classroom with them. I've put on the Pinterest site an idea of doing it with acrylic paints and coffee filters. I think you could do it with any kind of paint, and I think you could do it with markers as well. Anyway, go there, get a good idea, and make your own monarchs, and maybe you can share them with me on Pinterest, because I'd love to see some other ideas. I don't really like using acrylic paints with young children, because I like to set out the craft and let them do it when they get their work done or at other times, so have a craft table. I do put washable tempera there, and I put markers there. So you can experiment for me and let me know. And just, you know, have fun. Talk about the cycle. Have posters and pictures and show videos of how the monarchs work. It's a great outdoor STEM activity. So just have fun learning. For our curriculum corner, we're going to discuss an outdoor STEM activity using monarchs and migration. And I put something on the Pinterest, but there's a lot of things about it. Be sure and watch The Flight of the Butterflies on Netflix, or share that with your students, because we want them to gain this appreciation. It's considered STEM. You're not just following a textbook, but you're creating curiosity, and you're creating the idea of inquiry and questioning, and how do things really work in this world? Curriculum is just not the textbooks. Curriculum is your whole path of learning for your children. That's why we often say, you know, unschooling is also a curriculum. So homeschoolers, unschoolers, private school students, public school students, a parent is still having all of those pieces, and they really are providing the curriculum. They're providing the path they want their child to go on. So in the big sense of the word, parents never stop providing the path that they want their children to go on. If they do nothing, they're providing that as a role model for the path that they want their children to go on. If they're diligent and want to know how things are and love nature and persevere and learn how to problem solve, those are huge tools in the curriculum for their child. That's the path they want their child to go on. And even as you look at a school, you want a school that mirrors the values and philosophies that you want your child to learn. And so the school is part of the overall curriculum that you want for your child. We often make the definition of curriculum too narrow. So since I talked about doing a monarch arts and craft, I thought it would just be good to extend that and make that as part of your STEM curriculum. We need to be outdoors a lot right now with COVID and all the other things that are going on, and just help our children find peace in that beauty in nature. So I highly recommend that as you're developing your curriculum, that you look for things that are very engaging in nature. Well, that concludes our curriculum corner. Be sure and go to my school's website, which has resources for homeschoolers. You can go to www.mygax.org, and maybe we can help you there. It will show you how to get in contact with me. If you have a homeschooling dilemma, or you need report cards, or you need a high school transcript, go there. That concludes our curriculum corner. Questions parents ask. Well, this comment comes from a name that I will not share on the air, but this is her feelings, and maybe some of you have the same feelings. I need to come up with some way to contain the chaos. I'm losing myself. Seriously, I feel like I'm suffocating. I always say that God has a real sense of humor. I have 6 boys and 2 girls. I have auditory processing disorder and noise absolutely exhausts me. Why would God give me 6 boys? Make that 7 come December. Now, please don't take me wrong. I love them more than anything in this world, but their noise makes me absolutely a basket case. It is never quiet in my house unless they are asleep. I do read-alouds with them. I still have to tell them to be quiet constantly. I think they all must have ADHD. Getting them to get schoolwork done is exhausting too. They don't stay on task, and it's all constant redirecting. Everything is a joke, full of mess and noise. I know boys are loud. I know they have tons of energy, but is it really so much to ask for some calm and quiet in our day? And they break everything. They destroy everything. They put holes in the walls. What am I doing wrong? They do get in trouble, but it just doesn't seem to matter. We've tried everything. Nothing works. They never calm down. And I'm not sitting outside all day in this heat, so I can't have them outside all day. Even when they do play outside, it's the same. They never run out of energy or noise. Add to that my 2- and 1-year-old crying, and I'm so beyond mentally exhausted by 2 p.m. So what is my advice? Well, I'm very sympathetic because I too have auditory sensory processing disorder, which some have diagnosed it as a form of high functioning autism. Whatever the case is, it's a real syndrome where you get exhausted by all the sensory that's coming your way. And I only had 2 children, so I can't speak on some wonderful strategies having 6 boys and the 7th on the way and then 2 toddlers. I don't know how you do it. But I think that outside is a great thing, and maybe you can find a way that they're outside and you're inside, or at least giving yourself space. The only way that I cope is going to what I call my happy place and actually disciplining my own mind into a quiet place, even though what appears to be chaos is reigning around me. And then another thing that I've enjoyed doing with my students is some military exercises, marching, and the song, "I'm Too Young to March in the Infantry." Some of those songs, there's even a "Jesus Loves Me" that's a march, and just marching them. And then technology. Technology is a soothing thing and can be a useful tool to give you a little break. I know some people are opposed to it, but if used wisely, it could give you a break, and you could invest in some technology, which would be like a second or third or fourth teacher. iPads are very proprietary in the fact that you can make them dedicated just to what you want them to be practicing. It has nice handwriting applications. It has reading. It has math, geography, social studies. So subjects that you need like another teacher to help you with, you can use technology. And please confide in your husband that you just, that's a heavy teaching load for anyone, because it's a lot of different levels. You need help. You need to have someone come in and help you so that you can succeed at this wonderful task that you have at hand. Well, that's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth. And I hope you stay tuned to the next segment. We are going to be listening to a wonderful interview. And remember, go to my Pinterest for some of the ideas. MR Gamblin 2. And I don't want to conclude this portion of the show without also encouraging you to go to my school website. We have a lot of resources for homeschoolers. We can actually give you transcripts and help you with a lot of the nitty-gritty record taking. So if you want to read more, go to mygax.org. That's www.mygax.org. mygacs.org, and spelled out, it's mygacs.org. It represents Gettysburg Adventist Christian School, and we go K through 12. So you can go on that website and you will see the homeschool link there, and you can learn more about what we have to offer homeschooling families. So on the second half of our show, we're going to do part two of an interview that I had with Jana Scott, and we're talking about standing on the wall, prayers to preserve the integrity of the nation. And I just know you're going to want to come back, because we'll hear from her, and we do want to preserve this nation. We'll be right back. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you, so be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162, or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland 21783. Welcome back. I'm here with Jana Scott, and we're talking about her passion, Standing on the Wall, a series of books, one that is for pastors and faith leaders, prayers that they can pray for the nation, one for people like you and I, that we can pray for the nation. And then she also has a third one, that statesmen can pray for the nation. Welcome to our show, Jana.
Thank you.
So let's first talk about the statesmen. So is this a book that is you gain funds and people can send to their congressmen, and or you give them to the congressmen and to the senators? And how does that work for the statesmen edition?
Right now we have distributed 50 of the 435 in the House and 100 in the Senate. So 535 statesmen, we've distributed 50 of them based on personal funds, donations, and what have you. We will not sell the book to our nation's leaders. We want to make it a gift to them.
So you need sponsors.
That would be wonderful. If people are willing and interested in sponsoring a book for their own statesmen or for statesmen in other states, we would be more than happy and blessed to receive that.
Now, do you have it set up on your website where they can go there, or do they have to email you?
On the website, they can purchase the book, but they could also email me personally, Jana S5. At AOL.com. That's J-A-N-N-A-H, S as in Sam, the number 5, at AOL.com. As we've just come out with this,
yeah,
I don't know if the publisher has a donate button just for that piece, but I'm going to ask her to put one on since you said that.
Yeah, that would be, that'd make it easy,
yes,
for people who
easy.
Wanted to do that.
Yeah.
You can also go through MRG Media Ministries. I'm 501c3, so I can give you a tax-deductible donation.
That would be great.
And
Thank you. We
really do believe that it's only by God's grace that our nation is still, that we still experience as many freedoms that as we do.
Yes.
And we can see it being eroded all of the time.
Yes.
So that's the one that is for the statesmen. And then let's talk about the one that's for pastors and faith leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And as there's more of a push, I mean, I really see the push even here and at the NRB that when I'm interviewing people, that the Christian community is saying we need to be organized, we need to be more organized. The counterpart is very organized, you know, all the different movements, they're very organized. We need to be organized as well. Probably one of the best things we could do is get everyone praying for our nation. So the Pastors and Faith Leaders Edition, what is the difference between this one as opposed to the Statesmen?
So the Statesmen are praying for themselves as leaders, and they're praying for other leaders. The pastors are praying for leaders who are in elected or appointed positions.
And one of the things that a parishioner could do is to buy this Standing on the Wall, the Pastors and Faith Leaders Edition, and just make sure that their pastor has it, maybe their elders, however their church is organized, that they have this book.
That would be wonderful.
You know, and right now I know this is so new and so hot off the press, but you can go to her email address, janas5@aol.com, or you can go to fiestapublishing.com. That's the website where you can get the book. And so the third portion then is the People's Edition. This would be like for me. And the difference is I'm now praying for my local pastor and leaders.
And I'm also praying for the nation.
I'm praying for the nation.
Yes. Because God wants us all to be ministers. As he said in Hebrews, we are all ministers of the flame of fire. And I see prayer and intercession as a flame of fire. And even in the Old Testament times when they told the priest, never let the fire go out, we are all part of that priesthood now.
Yes.
And our prayers, our intercession, keeps the fire of the Lord's will for our nation burning.
At no other time. I think it's so critical. I feel like the earth is in the last throes of history. And we have the coronavirus. We have global technology attacks and literal attacks and virtual attacks. I think there's no time as the present that this is such a great ministry.
One of the things you said to that, I just want to share that these things are not surprising to us as believers. But there's a passage in Romans 8 where Paul tells the church that the earth is groaning in anticipation for the manifestation of the sons of God, sons being the people of God. And our manifestation will come through the prayers. There's power in the prayers that we speak. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So if there were ever a time for the people of God to manifest in prayer, it is now, because the earth is groaning.
Right. And we are looking for the latter rain. It will only come through prayer.
Yes.
It's there, you know. God at one point maybe pulling back his spirit, but for the Christian, he's ready to pour that latter rain of power and peace in a very turbulent time, and it's through prayer.
Yes.
I can't help but think this is just for such a time as this. Thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Thank you.
One last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.